Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are committed to build. And look, I'm pretty well qualified to have an opinion here. Not only because I had the job for 8 years and it worked out pretty well for you, but because I've seen a lot and I know both candidates well. I know Kamala Harris because I've seen her grow in the White House, and I became acquainted with her when she became Attorney General of California, and we have a lot of mutual friends. And Hillary's known her for 30 years. And I've watched her. Nobody is born knowing how to be president. And I was down in North Carolina in the country not very long ago, and this guy says to me, "I can't be for her. They just anointed her, and she doesn't deserve it." And he sounded like Trump, you know. So I told him, I said, first of all, I said, she didn't grab it. She was loyal to President Biden. And then when he decided he just should step aside because he realized that a lot of people weren't sure that he could do 4 more years, and he made a decision that was incredibly selfless and did the right thing. She decided to run, and it was too late to have a primary. But that wasn't his decision, or I mean her decision. She had nothing to do with it. So anyway, this guy said, "I just don't believe that." Finally, I said, "Well, sir, you're not the one to be making this argument, because she is far better qualified to be president than Donald Trump was in 2016. And Maya Angelou, who is a great friend of mine, once said famously that when people tell you who they are, you should believe them. Most things people say in these campaigns, they actually mean. We get a reputation for being people that, you know, are hiding things here, there, and yonder. That's normally not true. Most people say what they mean and try to do what they say they're going to do if they win. And Donald Trump is closing this campaign just like he started it, airing personal grievances and these bizarre conspiracy theories. He demeans and divides, and he tries to keep all of us all torn up and upset. And when I was a little boy, my mother told me that if somebody tried to make me mad and keep me that way, they were not my friend. And, you know, it's not like he has any problem, proposals that would actually solve these problems. And it's really, he's smart, because actual solutions and us getting along with our neighbors would be very bad for his brand. Isn't that right? I mean, his brand is, you are getting screwed every day by them. They are taking advantage of you. Be for me, don't ask questions, and I'll make you dominant. We will control everything, whatever it is. And I thought, wow. Even when I hear it now, I think, he is really good at this. I mean, look, we all said we wanted an orderly border, a lawful border. We thought our law since 1961 has been that if someone has a genuine fear for their safety or the safety of their family, they can come here as refugees if they're properly vetted. But they can't jump the line to become a citizen before other who have applied. It's a perfectly sensible law, except it was built, in effect, for a country with far fewer people running around across national borders. And we now have the largest number of people on every continent crossing borders because of all kinds of troubles that we've had since World War II. So we have a system built for 400,000 people, and if 1.2 million show up, there's not a person in this audience, I don't care how well organized you are, who could take the resources that we've given to handle 400,000 people and properly vet over 1 million of them. So the White House offers a deal to the Republicans in the Senate to reduce how many people we take in by the month whenever it gets above a certain number, as long as they have a decent, not luxurious, a decent place to live along the border so we don't divide children and parents. And we then vet them. And it seemed almost too good to be true. There they were, the Senate Republicans working with the White House. The system was going to work the way it was supposed to be until what? He said, no. You can't do that. We can't solve this problem. I have to have people who hate immigrants and are scared to death and are torn up and upset. If I start solving problems, it'll destroy our brand. How will we get people to keep hating each other over this issue? I mean, you're laughing, but you know I'm telling you just exactly as it is. We didn't hire him to solve the problem. So he just is focused on himself. To heck with the immigrants. And please, you cannot solve this problem. How are we going to win if you solve problems? I need people who hate the government, don't trust anybody, believe everything's broken, and the only possible answer is to keep everybody all torn up and upset. And then I'll figure out how to claim credit for whatever happens. We had a pretty day today, you know. I made that happen. Oh, but it rained yesterday. But if I'd been president, it never would have rained. You're laughing, but you've seen it, right? And then if he's not bragging about himself, he's bashing someone else. I never saw a guy who had a hard time saying something nice about anybody unless they had declared absolute obedience to him first. And so I may be wrong, but I think most Americans, a majority, are sick and tired of this us versus them juvenile behavior from the elders. And now, but we can't beat something with nothing. We've got to move forward together. And one of the reasons I've been so happy to campaign around the country is that I've been campaigning for someone, A, I believe will be a very good president. I believe Kamala Harris will be a fine president. I think Greg Walz will be a fine vice president. Tim Walz is good. But the reason is, among other things, is she thinks this election is about you, not her. And it's about not going back. It's about addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. She thinks It's okay if we turn back the clock an hour in a couple of days to get daylight savings, but not if we turn the clock back 50 years on Tuesday. And so I think, I could be wrong about this, but I've been out here in the country, and when I offered to help in the campaign, and I said, I don't care about doing big rallies and big cities, and I said, send me to the country. Send me to the places where former presidents don't go. Let me go back and do what I feel comfortable with, and just listening to people and talking to people. And I've had a grand time. I mean, two guys at the Georgia State Fair wearing MAGA caps asked me to take pictures with them. And the guy said, one of them said, you were really great and you had those three surpluses in a row and it was great. And I said, can I make my pitch for Harris? He said, no. He said, I really like you, but I'm too far gone. I mean, he was saying, you know, it's basically our culture has been transported. And that's not a good thing. We need to learn to sit and visit with one another. We need to learn to have an open hand, not a clenched fist. So that's the first thing. But I have learned enough to know that the thing Trump thinks will tip this for him is that he thinks he can convince people that he was an immensely successful president in his first term until COVID took it all away from him. Right? And he can say, look, we had a good economy without inflation in my 3 years till the economy wheels ran off. And Biden and Harris may have had job growth, but they have inflation. Therefore, you have to vote against them and for me. Isn't that about his argument? And have any of you heard some version of that? That's basically the stick. So here's my answer. First of all, Trump really just inherited the last 2 years of Obama's. And this is not hot air. The last 2 years of Obama's presidency produced 8 million jobs. The first 2 years of Trump's produced 6.4. If you take the last 3 years and then the first 3 years, the difference is greater than the Democrats' fate. We're better at creating jobs than they are because trickle-down economics doesn't work. And so why do we have inflation? Because COVID broke the supply chains, right? And suppose the city government in Nashua passed a law that the best way to save energy and cut cost is for everybody to have a small scooter. And you had, within 3 months, every citizen had to have a scooter. And suppose you could only find 500 scooters in the next 3 months. But the demand's up here, the supply's here, what's going to happen to the price? It's going to go up. That's all that's happened. In other words, no breathing human being could have stopped inflation because we wanted things again when we started coming out of COVID, and they weren't there. And the routes weren't there, and a lot of the businesses closed, all kinds of stuff happened. Well, what did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and their supporters in Congress do? Like Donald Trump, Joe Biden promises an infrastructure bill. Unlike Donald Trump, he gave us one. And so now we have 60,000 projects, soon be up to 100,000. Then they passed the CHIPS Act to enable us to get into high-tech manufacturing and to get the stuff right away and to block off the prospect that our chips could be shut down. Then they adopted an all-of-the-above energy policy, which enabled us to create an enormous number of jobs in solar, wind, geothermal, small-scale nuclear, where the fuel pellets are in ceramic protection that will secure it from being a danger for thousands of years, and people can
welcome, Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Oh, baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough. To keep me from getting to you. Remember the day I set you free. I told you you could always count me up.
Hello, Wisconsin. Excited to be here today, and it is an honor to welcome Kamala Harris back to our state. Having Kamala back in the state again makes it clear that this campaign knows that the path to the presidency and to control of the United States Senate runs directly through our state, because we are the battleground state in this election, right? Wisconsin will decide who our next president is. And Wisconsin will decide which party controls the United States Senate. No pressure. And speaking of that U.S. Senate seat, I'm being challenged by a self-funding multimillionaire by the name of Eric Hovde. Just let me tell you a little bit about Eric Hovde. He owns a $3 billion California bank, and he owns a $7 million Ocean View Laguna Beach, California home, and he has been named among the more influential residents of Orange County 3 years in a row. Now, Wisconsin, we have a green county. We have a brown county. We do not have an orange county, Wisconsin. But, you know, you may laugh, but, you know, the stakes of this race are incredibly high. Eric Hovde celebrated when Roe was overturned. He said that he was 100% anti-choice. Meanwhile, I'm leading the efforts to restore reproductive freedoms with my Women's Health Protection Act, right? And I want women, not politicians, to decide their own health care. Topic of health care, Eric Hovde wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act and kick millions off of their health insurance. And just a little bragging here, but I actually wrote the provision in the Affordable Care Act that allows young people to stay on their parents' health insurance until they turn 26. So, if you're on your parents' health insurance, I made that possible. And I will always fight to protect our health care. And on the economy, Eric Hovde is running on something we're calling the Hovde Plan. His plan cuts Social Security by 28%. That would mean the average retirees would be docked about $6,000 per year. Why? So he can give a $4 trillion new tax cut to big corporations and multimillionaires like himself. But with Eric Hovde, it's more than that. He's insulted just about every one of us, right? He's insulted farmers, single moms, kids of single moms, the LGBTQ community, seniors in nursing homes, young people, immigrants in our state, people struggling with their weight, you name it. It seems to me that if you're not a rich guy like him, he doesn't think much of you. And it's clear that he has spent much more time on his private beach in California than on a factory floor or family farm here in Wisconsin. So I think here in Wisconsin, we deserve a senator who understands us, who fights for us, who likes us, not one who insults us. Right? So the stakes could not be higher for our reproductive freedoms, for our health care, for our economy. We have the choice to embrace our state motto, which is forward, or let Eric Hovde take us backwards. And you know what? We're not going back. It is amazing to see all of you here. This is so exciting. To be in Wisconsin with all of you, and of course our special guests, with the energy that we have in this room, with this crowd, I know, you could say it with me, that together we will fight and together we will win. Thank you.
Always in the lead, who you wanna be, I'm who they wanna be, B-E-A-U-T-Y-E, never seen so much.
Ella casi ni sale, la traición no es el amor, tiene par de amistades, pero no quiere relación. ¿Dónde va sobresale? En sus ojos se ve la ilusión, pero llamó a su amiga que se olvide que esta es su canción. Y baila, 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 baila. Por la mujer.
música pa' que esto no pare. Baila, 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 tengo que besarte antes que se acabe. Baila, 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 ponle música pa' que esto no pare. Baila, 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 tengo que besarte antes que se acabe. Me gusta cómo te ves, moviéndote así, dejando la timidez. Me gustas demasiado, aquí me tienes deseando. Imaginándote, por el cuello besándote y por la mano agarrándote, que conmigo tú te vas a hacer algo más que no pueda olvidar. Conmigo hace sentir lo que no has sentido con alguien más. Conmigo tú te vas a hacer algo más que no pueda olvidar. Conmigo vas a sentirte mejor. Baila, 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 ponle música.
Please welcome Jennifer Neary.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jennifer Neary, and I am a mom from Oshkosh. It is such an honor to be here to welcome Vice President Kamala Harris to our community. On November 8th, 2016, the night Donald Trump was elected president, I was in Children's Hospital with my son, Casimir. He was 17. And he had recently been diagnosed with a type of cancer called non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was going through his third round of chemotherapy. Before that night, it didn't cross my mind that Donald Trump could win that election. But as I sat there at Casimir's bedside, watching the returns come in on the TV, it felt like the floor had dropped out underneath me. Our country would now be in the hands of this man who campaigned, you know, entirely promising to repeal the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as we may know it, something millions of Americans, including my son, really, really desperately needed. Well, today, Donald Trump is making it clear that a second term would be even worse for families like mine, who rely on the ACA. His extreme Project 2025 agenda would take us back to a time when Americans could be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions or disabilities. And worst of all, he doesn't even know how he's going to do it, declaring he has concepts of a plan to... Well, America needs more than a concept. And Kamala Harris has a plan. When elected, Kamala Harris will protect the ACA, ensuring that every American, regardless of pre-existing condition or employment status, will keep their life-saving insurance. Since being elected Vice President, Kamala Harris has strengthened the ACA. She negotiated with big drug companies to cap out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs for those seniors on Medicare, and she won't stop there as president. This election is a choice between two very different visions for the future. And I am so proud to introduce a champion for all Americans, our next president of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Yeah. Freedom, freedom, where are you? 'Cause I need freedom too. I'm
thank you. Jennifer and I had a time to visit backstage, and we first met in 2020 on a Zoom talking about the Affordable Care Act, and your son is doing well now. You are an incredible leader, and I thank you. Wisconsin, are we ready to do this? Are we ready to vote? Are we ready to win? Oh, it's good to be back. And I want to thank all the leaders, everyone, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy lives to be here this afternoon. You know, we are all here because we care, and we know that this is about community and of all of us being here together at one time. And I thank you all. And I want to thank my dear friend Tammy Baldwin. Send her back to the United States Senate. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. County Executive Nelson. And the chair of our Democratic Party, Ben Wickler. We have work to do. Okay, Wisconsin, 4 days left in probably one of, if not the most consequential elections of our lifetime. And we have work to do still. We have a lot of work to do, but we like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work is joyful work. And make no mistake, we will win. Because we are the type of people who we know when you know what you stand for, you know what to fight for. You know what to fight for, right? And in this election, we have an opportunity to finally turn the page on a decade of Donald Trump trying to keep us divided and afraid of each other. We're done with that. We're done. We're exhausted with that. And we know that's who he is, but Wisconsin, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. And it is time for a new generation of leadership in America. And I am ready to offer that leadership as the next president of the United States of America. Afraid of tough fights. For decades, clearly, for decades, I was a prosecutor and the top law enforcement officer of the biggest state. And I won fights against the big banks who ripped off homeowners, against for-profit colleges that scammed veterans and students, against predators who abused women and children, against cartels that trafficked in guns and drugs and human beings. And I pledge to you, if you give me the chance to fight on your behalf as president, there is nothing in the world that will stand in my way. And look, and on the other side, we know who Donald Trump is. Now, this is not someone who is thinking about how to make your life better. He is someone who is increasingly unstable, obsessed with revenge, consumed with grievance, and the man is out for unchecked power. He's out for unchecked power. And in less than 90 days, you can picture the Oval Office, in less than 90 days, it's either going to be him or me sitting in the Oval Office, or with your help. And let's help the friends and family and neighbors who are not here right now. Imagine that for a minute, right? January 20th, Oval Office. It's either going to be him sitting in there, poring over and stewing over his enemies list, or when I am elected, it will be me walking in there on your behalf, working on my to-do list. Because we got work to do. Because we have work to do. And at the top of my list is bringing down the cost of living for you. That will be my focus every single day as president, including I will give a middle-class tax cut to over 100 million Americans. We will enact the first ever federal ban on corporate price gouging on groceries. And fight to make sure that hardworking Americans can actually afford a place to live. And one of the things that we were talking about backstage is about the importance of people being able to care for their family members, and including and in particular, their elder family members. And some of you may know, and this is personal for me, as are so many of these issues. I took care of my mother when she was sick. And I know what it is in terms of taking care of someone and just trying to cook the things that they feel like eating, right? Just trying to help them put on a sweater. Trying to think from time to time, what can I do to put a smile on their face or make them laugh? It is important work, and it is work that is about dignity. It's about dignity. And if you are caring then for an elderly parent or relative, my plan is to cover the cost of home care under Medicare. So you don't have to worry about either spending down whatever savings you have to qualify for Medicaid, or quitting your job and cutting off a source of income to be able to stay at home. In particular, if you're in the sandwich generation, meaning that you are taking care of your kids while you are taking care of a parent. It's about dignity. And my plan will also lower the cost of childcare. Again, about dignity. About dignity. My plan is to prioritize cutting taxes for small businesses. Do we have small business owners here? I love our small businesses. You are part of the backbone of America's economy, and that's the work we will do. We will do the work of lowering health care costs, because I believe so deeply and strongly, access to health care should be a right and not just a privilege of those who can afford it. It's about values. It's about values. On the other hand, Donald Trump's answer to the financial pressures you face are the same as they were last time. Another $1 trillion in tax cuts for billionaires and the biggest corporations. And this time, he will pay for it with a 20% national sales tax on everything that you buy that is imported. Clothes, food, toys, cell phones. A Trump sales tax that would cost the average American family, economists have measured it, more than $4,000 a year that you are not paying, you would have to pay because of that tax. And on top of that, as we have discussed, he still wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which would throw millions of people, millions of Americans, off of their health insurance and take us back to the time when insurance companies could deny people with pre-existing conditions. You remember what that was? Well, you are correct. We are not going back. We are not going back. Just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, we will move forward. future, and it is a fight for freedom, like the fundamental freedom of a woman to be able to make decisions about her own body and not have her government tell her what to do. And we remember how we got here. Donald Trump, when he was president, hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade. They did as he intended, and now over 20 states have a Trump abortion ban. Imagine, in America today, one in three women lives in a state with a Trump abortion ban, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest, which is immoral. And Donald Trump's not done. He would ban abortion nationwide, yes, even here in Wisconsin were that to happen, and he would restrict access to birth control, put IVF treatments at risk, and force states, get this, to monitor women's pregnancies. Just Google Project 2025, which I still can't believe they put in writing. And let us agree, one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree the government shouldn't be telling her what to do. Not the government. Not the government. Not the government. And when Congress, together with Tammy's leadership, passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom nationwide, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. So, Wisconsin, I am asking for your vote. I am asking for your vote. And here is my pledge to you. Here is my pledge to you. As president, I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I pledge that I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress. And I pledge to listen to those who will be impacted by the decisions I make. I will listen to experts. I will listen to the people who disagree with me. Because you see, unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe that people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at the table. That's what a democracy is about. That's what leaders do. And it is my pledge to always put country above party and self, and to be a president for all Americans. For all Americans. That is my pledge to you, Wisconsin. So let me ask, we're 4 days out. Who here has already voted? Oh, wow! Oh, my goodness! That's great! Thank you! Okay, well, here's what I want to ask. I want to ask a little more of you. Please talk to your friends and family and neighbors. And share your perspective. Share why you have taken the time out of your lives to spend this time here when there's so many other things you could do. Let them know, because this moment, I think, really is our opportunity to reconnect with people and remind them they're not alone and build community. And so please, share with them why this election is important to you and encourage them to make their voices heard. And for anyone who's not yet voted, no judgment. But please take a moment now to just think about what your plan will be for when and where you will vote. And please go to iwillvote.com. Yes, I have a website. For all the information you might need about when and where you can go to vote and where to drop off your absentee ballot. And Wisconsin, truly, we need everyone to vote here. You, Wisconsin, are going to make the difference in this election. You will make the difference. You will make the difference. And so it all comes down to this. We are here together because we love our country. We love our country. And when you love something, you fight for it. And I do believe it is one of the highest forms of patriotism, an expression of our love of our country, to then fight for the ideals of our country. That's what this is about. And it is fighting for the promise of America. And I'll tell you, I have always believed in our nation's promise because I have lived it. I grew up as a child of the civil rights movement. My parents took me to the marches when I was in a stroller. And there were people there from every walk of life who came together to fight for freedom and for opportunity. Growing up, I saw how hard my mother worked to raise my sister and me and to give us the same chances that our country gave her. And I was blessed to have family by blood and family by love who instilled in me, you know what I'm talking about, and instilled in me the values of community and compassion and faith. And I've spent my life fighting for people who have been hurt and who have been counted out, but who never stopped believing in our country that anything is possible. I have lived the promise of America. And I see the promise of America in everyone who is here, in all of us, in all of us, in all of us. This is the promise of America. This is the promise of America. In the fathers and mothers and grandparents who work hard every day for the future of their children. In the women who refuse to accept a future without reproductive freedom. And in the men who support them. In Republicans who have never voted for a Democrat before but are putting the Constitution of the United States above party. America is all around us. It is in the young leaders who are voting for the very first time. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, I love Gen Z. I really do. You know what I love about this generation? You all are rightly impatient for change. You know? You are determined to live free from gun violence, to take on the climate crisis. You guys are going to shape the world you inherit. And for this generation, none of these issues is theoretical for them. It's not political for them. For you all, it is a lived experience. It is a lived experience. That's right. And I see you, and I see your power. And I am so proud of you when I think about the future of our nation. So can we hear it for our first-time voters? Right. All right, so Wisconsin, 4 days. 4 days to get this thing done. And no one can sit on the sidelines. Well, let's spend the next 4 days so that when we look back on these 4 days, we have no regrets that we did everything that we could. So let's knock on doors, let's text and call voters, let's reach out to family and friends and classmates and neighbors and coworkers. And as we do, please, I do ask you, let us be intentional about building community. Let us be intentional about building coalitions.
Let us remind each other and others that we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let us do that. There is power in that. It will strengthen our country. And we'll remind folks also, your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power. It is your power. And so, Wisconsin, today I ask you, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America? And are we ready to fight for it? God bless you, and God bless the United States.
I meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements by my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping the aqueducts, fire hydrants and hazardous smoke alarms on the back of us. But mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, drive for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me. Honestly, guiding me, I can be more than I gotta be. Stole from me, lied to me, nation hypocrisy, code on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in high desert. Yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it forever.
Freedom, freedom.
What you want from me? Is it true? You see,
Sunday.